Good morning, Echo Lake. It is great to see you all. I'm just going to put this down right here real quick so I don't forget it for later. Good morning. It is great to be back with you all. This is our home. It feels like home every time we come in here. So thank you guys so much for letting us join you this morning. I'm honored to open God's word with you again. It is a privilege, and I mean that. We don't take this lightly. I don't take this lightly to get the privilege to dive into God's word with you. And so I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and from my family's heart. Speaking of my family, I promised my kids I would say good morning to them because that was the only way I could get them to watch me this morning. So I will give them their shout out. So hopefully they will sit and actually listen to the sermon this morning. Usually they tell me when I get home that it was good, but a little boring. So we went and did something else while you were preaching. So we're going to try and spice it up a little bit this morning. I know I left them. We were traveling a little bit yesterday, and when we were on our way back from where we were going, I was going over what I was going to share this morning, and I intentionally left the story in what we call the cliffhanger so that hopefully they would watch today to hear the rest of it, but I quite honestly don't know if they care that much, but hopefully they do, and it'll be a great family moment, but I'll hear about it no matter what when I get home. So good morning to them, and Nathan and Hope, good morning. Be nice to mommy. Please don't drive her crazy. But let's pray and let's dive into God's word together this morning. Can we do that? Father, Lord, to think that we this morning in this room could gather freely without any fear and any worry can so quickly be forgotten. And so, Father, we want to pause this morning and just thank you. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that it is accessible to us. Lord, as Pastor Jeff mentioned last week, we thank you that it never returns void. Father, we thank you that no matter how many millions of times we've read the same words in the same page in the same book, every single time there is something new and fresh for us. And the fact that you are able to do that, we just pause and say, wow. We acknowledge your majesty and your glory. We acknowledge that you are above it all. Father, we thank you that, Lord, there is no one that is above you, and there is not even anyone that can come beside you. We thank you that you are our God. And you are our Father. Lord, bless this time that we have this morning to dive into your word. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand what it is that you're speaking to us this morning. Protect our mind from the distractions that we face outside of this room, outside of the rooms where we're watching this today. Lord, protect us, protect this time so that we could spend it in your presence and focused on you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Question for you. When was the last time you felt weary? I'm not talking tired. I'm not talking didn't get enough sleep the night before or, you know, had a rough week and I just am feeling a little exhausted. I'm talking weary. Have to muster up the work to put on a smile on your face, barely getting out of bed in the morning, feeling empty like you have nothing left to give, weary. When was the last time you felt weary in your lives? You know, I think for all of us, no matter how great we think our lives are, we all face moments in our lives where we become weary, where life seems to swallow us whole and overwhelm us. you know, a great instance would be looking at 2020, right? My son, that when we were talking yesterday in the car, and I said, when was the last time you felt weary, guys? And his first response was like, oh, hello, Dad, 2020? And I was like, yeah, you're right. It's funny because every year it seems like around New Year's, everybody starts to get excited to say, see you later to the previous year. Right? It seems like every year there's more people that are excited to say goodbye to the previous year and step into this new year. But because of all that happened in 2020, I think everybody was even more excited to say, see you later, 2020. Let's kick off 2021. But you know, even if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, I think we all hit those seasons in our lives where we feel weary. Maybe if you have ever walked through caring for a loved one as they've gone through their final days, you can understand what it means to feel weary. Maybe if you're getting ready or if you've had a child and welcomed a new baby into your home, you understand what it feels like to be weary. Maybe if you have tried to finish out a semester strong or finish up your school, you understand what it feels like to be weary. Maybe you faced an unexpected life change or job transition or door closing or whatever it may be. You understand what it feels like to navigate through those seasons and you end up feeling so weary. I can remember not that long ago, I was on my way to an appointment one day and I was flying up one of the local highways not far from me on my way to an appointment. And as I was driving up the highway, more like flying up the highway because I was running late as usual, more on that in a second, I passed an all too familiar sight for us people in Jersey. And that is, I'm flying up the highway and I look to my right and on the shoulder I see a car with the little red gas can sticking out of the gas cap. And now we all know what that means. Whoever was driving that car had misjudged the fuel that they needed for the journey they had ahead, and they ran out of gas. And there they were, stuck on the side of the road. And so as I'm flying up the highway, I see this all too familiar sight of the person pulled over, running out of gas, trying to refuel for the journey. And me being the good Christian pastor, Jersey boy that I am, as I fly past them, I give them the stereotypical, oh, stinks to be you. Don't judge me. You know you've all done that too. We're all just so grateful it wasn't us in that moment, right? But you know, that day, as I, like I said, I've seen that so many times, it was an all too familiar scene. But that day, as I passed that car that had run out of gas, as I made that statement of sinks to be you, in the quietness of my soul, as best as I can describe, I heard the voice of the Lord say, Rob, guess what? That car's you. You've run out of gas. You've run out of fuel. You misjudged what you needed for this season of life, and you got nothing left. You see, what I didn't tell you about this story is that the reason that I was flying up to that appointment on that road was because I was desperately trying to finish up some schooling that I was in the midst of. And so I was flying to get to a class that I was already late for. And the reason that I was late for it was because back at my job, which I was working at a church, the founding and senior pastor had made some really terrible decisions and had to be let go. And so I was there trying to be as best of a shepherd as I could for the church that was going through a major crisis and a major transition. I was one of the only pastors on staff at the moment. So I was trying as best as I could to help the hundreds of people figure out what's next and figure out which way is up. And so I would come every day and try to do all that I could to care for them and then check my watch and usually realize I was late and I had to fly up to school to get to my last classes. And I wanted to finish that up so badly because back at home, my wife was walking with her sister who was in her early 30s, who was getting ready to wrap up her battle with breast and brain cancer and head to her heavenly home. And so she was going and caring for her sister every single day. And so I would try to finish up that schoolwork so that it would give me some more time to take care of our two kids, one of which had just been born and was only a few months old. And she was screaming nonstop because she had colic and she wouldn't sleep. And so we were trying to deal with all of that. Meanwhile, while all of that happens, my grandparents, who I love so much, that were like second parents that raised us, we live with them, they passed away unexpectedly. And so all of these things had been going on in our life in that moment. And so as I'm flying up that road, just trying to get to the next thing that I had to do, and I pass that car, and I think, oh, thank goodness it's not me. You know what God said? Hey, guess what? It is. Because you got nothing left. You used up everything. And you're out of fuel. It was in that season I learned what it meant to feel weary. To feel like no matter how hard you tried, on your own, you couldn't do it and you didn't have enough. When was the last time you felt weary? You know, I learned something else in that season, and that's even though my circumstances were unique, right? There was probably not many other people in the world at that time that had those exact circumstances that I was experiencing. The thing that I learned is all of our stories are similar. Even though my circumstances may have been unique, our stories are similar. We all face seasons in our lives where life can feel like it's swallowing us whole, leaving us feeling weary and empty. And I wonder, how do you navigate through those seasons in your life? For me, it took some significant decisions, but the most significant decision was to open this book and ask God for help. And I don't know about you, but maybe 2020 left you coasting in on fumes into 2021. Maybe life handed you some unexpected circumstances and today you're feeling weary. Can I encourage you to join me this morning in opening God's word to receive that fresh water for our dry lips, to receive that bread of life, to receive what he wants to pour back into us today. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to join me in the book of Psalms, chapter 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm that whether you've been in church for 600 years or you're just stepping foot in church today, odds are at some point in your life you've heard a portion of, if not all, of Psalm 23. It's a very, very, very popular passage in the Bible. And I believe that it's one that speaks directly to you and I and anyone else that's faced with seasons of weariness in their lives and gives us what we need to receive that fresh life and that living water. Psalm 23 was written by a man who was just equally as famous as this chapter was in the Bible. It was written by a man named David. Now, David had a very interesting life, right? David, from the time that he was a boy, had been anointed, which means he was set apart by God for a very specific task and calling. But you see, the interesting thing about David was from the time he was a little boy, he started out as a shepherd. And you know, in that time, shepherds were pretty significant, because they were caring for a flock of sheep. They were caring for this group of animals. And so they had responsibility on their plate. And so from the beginning of David's life until he stepped into that anointing as king, in which he actually started to lead an entire nation, David had responsibility. He had roles. He had authority. He had things that he needed to do day in and day out. Every single moment of every single day, there was someone or something that was relying on David. Sound familiar? How often do we get this place of weariness in our lives because it just feels like the burden of people and things that are relying on us are just so heavy that it weighs us down so far? Well, David, from the moment that he was a young boy, experienced that weight. He experienced the weariness, the responsibility, the weariness from the responsibility of having to care for her and lead. But you see, David writes this poem, he writes this song to God, and now we don't know exactly what's happening in David's life when he writes this psalm, but what we do know is there's a very real possibility that he was incredibly overwhelmed in these moments. There was a lot going on in his kingdom. There was a lot going on in his life. There was a lot of people that were not too happy with him, that wanted more of him. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of feeling all the overwhelming emotions and things like that, he pens this song, he pens this poem to God. And he says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's in these six verses that I believe David shares with us the steps that we need to take in order to replenish, to refuel for the journey that we have ahead of us. David begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." And then he makes this powerful statement. He says, "He makes me lie down." He makes me lie down. Now, I don't know everyone in the room very well, but I think it's pretty safe to say that many, if not, or most, if not none of us are shepherds. We're probably not going home to a herd of sheep. So the interesting thing that I want to help us understand about sheep this morning is this. Did you know that a sheep, if a shepherd does not make it stop, it won't stop? The sheep will continue to go. The sheep will continue to graze. The sheep will continue to walk, to move around, to go look at different things, to keep giving out energy, to keep giving out resources, and it will just keep going and going and going and going until it literally either drops or drops dead. Did you know that about sheep? Pretty interesting, isn't it? But you know what's even more interesting? The Bible compares us to sheep a lot. And you know what? This time it's the same. Because how many of you in your life adopt this mentality of, if I just had one more minute, I could do one more thing, I could accomplish one more task, I could have one more responsibility, one more thing checked off the list, one more project at work, one more, one more, one more, one more, one more. And we just keep going and going and going and going and going until we reach the point where we think, I don't think I can get out of bed today. How often do we keep giving out and giving out and giving out and giving out until we have absolutely nothing left inside of us? And I learned a very valuable lesson in that season of weariness in my life, and that was this. If all you do is give out, eventually you will run out, and that's when you'll hit burnout. Let me say that again for the people at home. If all you do is give out, eventually you will run out, and that's when you'll hit burnout. I don't know how else to explain it other than I've noticed in this area over this past season of life that we've adopted this mentality that I'm just going to do one more, right? One more task, one more project, one more whatever in our lives. I have a friend that makes this joke, right? And he'll always say, you know, "I'll sleep when I'm dead." And we always laugh, but you know, my response has become to him, "Hey, guess what? If you don't stop, you're gonna get that nap sooner than you think." Because we were not made to go nonstop. Many of us have reached this place of weariness in our lives because we've tried to do one more thing. We've tried to help one more person. We've tried to accomplish one more task or responsibility. And I believe what David shares in this passage, in this verse, he says, the shepherd makes me lie down. You know the picture that he's saying? The shepherd knows when I need to stop. And so he's going to make me lie down because he knows if he doesn't, we won't. I wonder, when was the last time you intentionally retreated? When was the last time you intentionally stepped back from the busyness of life? When was the last time you intentionally stepped back from giving out so that you could be refilled and refreshed? Many of us would have a hard time answering that question because we believe, well, just one more, one more, one more. David said, the shepherd makes me lie down, because he understood that just like sheep, if we were not forced to stop, we would not. And if you're in a season of weariness this morning, can I encourage you and challenge you to ask yourself, when was the last time you intentionally stepped back and let your shepherd fill you back up? You see, many of us would say, oh, okay, you know, I step back every morning. I read the verse a day on the YouVersion Bible app, and I take that 30 seconds every day to open the screen and let that thing pop up, and then that's good because now I can get on to the important things. I'm not talking about spending time opening the book or reading a verse on the phone so you could check it off the list. That's how you got to that point. I'm talking about, when was the last time you truly stepped back, you truly retreated so that the shepherd himself could pour back into you? David said, he makes me lie down, because he knew that if God didn't, we wouldn't. He goes on to say, after he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. Then he makes another powerful statement. He says, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You know, the interesting thing is, so often in our lives when we feel overwhelmed, we feel overworked, we feel weary, we feel empty, you know what we tend to do? We try to take control of anything and everything we can. Because oftentimes we feel so out of control in so many areas of our lives that we think, where are the areas that I can control? Let me grab a hold of them and do what I think is best, do what I think needs to be done, go the path that I think I need to be on, to get to where I feel like I should be. You know, if you're in a season of weariness and you fail to retreat, you fail to step back, you fail to allow your shepherd to refill what is empty inside of you, we end up reading this verse something like this. I jump on the path that I want to be on to get to where I want to go. That's what that verse looks like to someone who fails to retreat. That's what that verse looks like to someone who fails to step back. We think, I'm going to do what I think is best so that I can get what I think I should have. And so we just keep going and doing in our strength, in our way, to accomplish our goals. I learned a valuable lesson in that season of weariness, and that is, I'm never going to get to where I need to go if I'm going my own way. David says, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. I think there's an important shift that needs to happen in all of our lives. Once we step back, once we retreat, and we allow God to refocus us. And that shift is this. We need to turn our journey from a me journey to a he journey. Our journey and our path needs to shift from a me journey to a he journey, where we need to be more focused on his name's sake than our own. Where we need to be more focused on following the path that he puts before us so that it can bring honor and glory to him and not me. Because if we try to go our own way, we end up on the side of the road out of fuel. Because all we're trying to do is get what we think we need to have to go to where we think we should be. But when we retreat, we allow God to replenish what's inside of us. He begins to refocus our hearts. He begins to refocus our attention. He begins to realign our path for his name's sake. We need to understand, church, that for us, we're not the hero of the story. We're not the main character in the show. He's the main event. Our lives are not about what we can get, what we can do to go where we want to go. Our lives are about what we can do to bring more attention to him and less to us. And so when we retreat, we allow God, our good shepherd, to pour back into us. He refocuses our attention. He refocuses our heart. He shows us the areas that we have gone that he said, hey, guess what? I didn't ask you to go there. And here's the thing, right? Sometimes those places that we go can be really good places. I reached a point of complete burnout in my life because I was trying so hard to be there for everyone else. Everybody needed something. There were people everywhere that needed something. I had to help them get it. And so I would give and give and give and give and give. Parents, maybe you can relate. My kids need X, Y, and Z. Let me work and work and work and work and work and try to give it to them. Or this job that I have, if I just did a little bit more, then it would bring us to this next level, or it would give us this financial security or whatever it is. And so we keep trying and trying and trying and trying and giving and giving and giving and giving and more and more and more and more. Until one day we think, I don't even want to do this anymore. And I wonder how many of us, if we intentionally retreated, if we intentionally stepped back and ask God to refocus our hearts, would find out that we're on a path that he never asked us to walk on. We'd find out that we were on a journey that he never set us on course for. You know, I think one of the most freeing things that can happen in any follower of Jesus' life is to surrender your life to him. Because now it's not about what you think needs to be done. It's about what you know he's asking you to do. And you just do that and trust that he guides you on the right path for his name's sake. And when we retreat from that busyness, when we retreat from the insanity of life, and we ask him to refocus our hearts and show us the path, look at what happens deep within our souls. David goes on to say that even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a difficult picture, right? We see a picture of a battle. So it shows you how difficult it is at times to follow the path that God has for us. It doesn't mean it's all going to be cake and cookies from here to heaven, right? It's going to be difficult. But look at what happens that David recognizes and acknowledges in his life when he says, I'm going to guide, I'm going to follow your path. He says, I'll walk through these valleys. I'll walk through the shadow valley of the shadow of death. I will eat. I will have a table prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. And then he goes on to say, and surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see the juxtaposition that David gives between what it looks like when we try to go our own way and what it looks like when we follow his way? He says, when you are on the path that the Lord lays before you and you are living your life for his name's sake and not your own, then you can take to the bank that even though it'll be difficult, even though there'll be battles, there's still going to be blessing. And even in the midst of that battle, the blessings will be that his goodness and his love will follow us all the days of our lives. And then he makes this amazing statement. He says, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. Notice he doesn't say, we're gonna drive by God's house and check it out, right? It's not like driving around looking at Christmas lights. Right, it's fun to do that at Christmas. My kids love it. We do it every year. You drive by somebody's house, you check it out from a distance, and then you keep on going. That's not the picture David paints here. He says, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that we're going to set up shop. We're going to move in. We're going to be roommates. And David gives us this intimate picture into what it looks like when we allow our good shepherd to replenish and refuel us, to refocus our hearts, and we can watch him then restore our souls. We can watch his goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our lives. We can know that we're dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And that's what happens when we retreat, when we're willing to say, this is not about me, it's about he. Lord, refocus my heart. Show me the paths that you have for me. I will walk down those, and I'm going to walk down that confidently, knowing that behind me is your goodness and your mercy, and in front of me is the promise of dwelling in your house for all eternity. Amen. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling burdened, retreat. Step back. Lie down in the presence of your Father, in the presence of your shepherd. Let him pour back into you exactly what he knows you already need. Let him refocus your heart and your path and your steps. And as you follow that path, know that he is restoring your soul every step of the way. There was a moment in that difficult season with my wife and I where I was alone on the couch at night because I had just gotten into another what we call passionate discussions with my wife. And so she went in the bedroom and I took my usual spot on the couch. And I laid there and I knew I wasn't going to sleep. And I think I prayed in that moment the most raw and real and honest prayer I've ever prayed in my whole life. All I said was, God, I can't do this anymore. And you know what I heard back? You're right. And it wasn't really what I was expecting to hear. But he said, you're right. You can't, but I can. And so that night, God and I had a conversation. And he led me to this chapter. And I couldn't get past the first line. The Lord is my shepherd. And it was that moment in that night where I said, Lord, we both realize I can't do this. So I'm going to give you back the reins and let you lead and trust that your path is better than the one that I'm going to try to make for myself. And that was the beginning of the journey where God restored my soul. And maybe this morning, you need the restoration touch of your shepherd. Can I encourage you, as we go from here, to not just let this be a hopefully feel-good message, but one that challenges us to look at our lives and ask ourselves the hard questions. When was the last time I stepped back and let God put back into me what he knew I needed in these moments? When was the last time I asked God, God, am I on my path or your path? And when was the last time I dwelled in the house of the Lord? If you're feeling weary this morning, start there and watch God, your good shepherd, restore your soul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you don't leave us in this life to figure it out on our own. I thank you that you don't even want us to do it on our own. You want us to trust you, not because you want to control us, not because you're this big dictator in the sky, but because you know what's best for your children. And you want to lead us into your presence. And so, Father, I pray that this morning we would step back, we would retreat, we would refocus our hearts so that you can restore our souls. Father, I believe with all my heart that every one of us experiences weariness in our lives. And Lord, I pray that in this very moment, you would begin to breathe life back in to each person in this room, to every person that's watching online this morning, to every household that's represented on every screen, to every home that's represented in every pew. Restore their souls, Father. We love you, God, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.